Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG pod overflow, the Cinephobe cold opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
Said the OG pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're gonna get Amin in those, so you gotta listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players. Build a Pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Hit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100, as well as an instant Pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Crazy Sexy Cool Podcast. I'm your host, Stephanie, and I'm joined by my two friends, my co-hosts, fellow Sagittarius. We have Meek and we have Elizabeth. What's up?
What's going on?
Here at Crazy Sexy Cool, we give our black-ass millennial opinions about the crazy, the sexy, and the cool hot topics. So let's jump right into this hole. So I wanted to kind of look, it's a lot to talk about today and I'm already like low-key exhausted just thinking about it, but I'm gonna be completely transparent. I have been going to therapy. I started therapy a couple weeks ago, and not because anything traumatic has happened in my life personally. Yes, we're in a pandemic and that's traumatic enough. 2020 has been crazy. But I feel like I was having this feeling like everything was just going too good. And I was like bracing myself for like some bullshit to happen. But I realized, you know, going to therapy is a good thing. You know, it's you know, like a wellness check. You know, just checking in. You don't want to go to therapy because shit is crazy. You want to go to therapy to make sure things don't get out of hand. So, yeah. So like I was saying, like, I felt like things were going really well. Too good, in fact. And she gave me some advice. She told me that I should make a brag book where I realize or remind myself of who I am and what I have accomplished in my life or even just within this year, because everything is, you know, I feel like it's going very well for myself. So I thought that was a great idea. I just kind of sat back like, okay, let me, you know, remind myself of who I am and what I have accomplished. Because I feel like with the craziness of everyday life, sometimes we can kind of forget how dope we are, especially like as women, because I feel like as Black women in particular, when we are successful and we're doing well for ourselves, people don't want us to celebrate. And I feel like we should. And so I wanted to bring this to the podcast. I wanted to bring this to you guys as well to take a moment and brag on yourself. So
I think since you brought this to the table that you should go first.
Okay, I can do that. So, number one, this podcast that we started during this pandemic has been doing very well. And I'm very proud of us for when we first started Crazy Sexy Cool, we were cranking out 2 episodes a week. Yep. Now, as moms, that's a lot.
Because we have,
you know, 5 and 6 year olds like running around the house, and you know, there's really no schedule because the kids didn't have school or, you know, work. We just didn't know what was going on. Our whole schedules was kind of like fucked up. So for us to start this podcast and really be authentic and true to ourselves and not really hold back on the topics and our opinions, I think that's just really dope. Me personally, with this whole podcast, I'm camera shy, believe it or not. I don't like being on camera. I don't mind talking, but being on camera is just not my shit. However, we have a YouTube channel that these episodes go on every week. So, you know, that's just a reminder. Subscribe, you know, rate, comment, like, all that, you know, all that terminology. And I'm just really proud of this podcast and this platform that we have built. And I'm also very proud of Bikini Honey that I started over a year ago. She's doing very well. And I thought when this pandemic hit, I was like, shit, I might have to, you know, put this on the shelf for a little bit. No, I kept posting, kept promoting. I'm still selling swimsuits just like I was when I started. Like, business has not slowed down, which has honestly surprised the hell out of me. So Bikini Honey is doing very well. And I feel like I'm killing it as a mom and a businesswoman. I'm able to balance. Sometimes, I'm going to be honest, sometimes it can be a bit overwhelming, like I'd be having too much dip on my chip. But I think that's all moms. But to still have so much on my plate, I feel like I'm doing a great job. My son is flourishing, and I'm super proud. And I've taught myself some things that I've wanted to learn as far as like video editing, audio editing, and just stepping out of my comfort zone and doing things that, you know, especially with writing and filmmaking and producing content. This short film, short animated film that I'm a part of called Genesis has done very well. It's making its rounds in film festivals and collecting
awards, and I'm super, super, super proud of this project. So, I mean, it's just so many things, like even, you know, socially, meeting people and networking and just building, you know, personally. And, you know, I know a lot of people who have probably followed me on social media within the last few years only see me as like a mother, but I'm showing that I'm way more than that. You know, I'm on my shit. You know what I'm saying?
Not me.
Now I'm shy. Now I'm shan.
It looks good on you, Bethany.
Thanks.
You know, this glove you got going on.
I'm honestly in a great space. I'm really happy. And I'm instead of, you know, bracing for some bad shit to happen, I'm just trying to live in this moment that everything is just good right now. And it is what it is. I used to date this guy like 15 years ago who used to always have this outlook that he couldn't be happy because he knows that something bad is always going to happen and kind of like take the rug out from under him. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I used to always like that too.
Yeah. And I used to always think like, that's kind of a fucked up way to live. Like, why not be happy? But then I found myself feeling that same way. And so I had to kind of like sit back and like, you know what? Things are good. Be happy. Be in the moment. And if anything bad happens, I mean, you know, we cross that bridge when we get there.
We take risk, you know.
Yeah. Risk takers over here in Sagittarius land.
That's funny.
So who's next? Who's next? Go, 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 go,
go, go, go. Who's next? Oh, okay.
Who next? For real, though.
I'll go next. Okay, I'll go next. Okay, yeah, I said I'll go next. This isn't normal for me to brag about myself. This is really taking me out of my box. But it's a good thing that I'm doing this because I usually compliment my friends and I'm okay with that. I'm not the person that that like brags, like not necessarily bragging about yourself, but yes, bragging about yourself. Because growing up for me, bragging about yourself, you get, you know, girls used to be like,
you think you are all that.
Yeah, like who you think you are, you know what I'm saying? So I already put myself in that
like
that
box.
Yeah, that box where I'm like, okay, well, maybe I'm doing too much, you know? And now I'm getting older and I'm realizing that I'm fire as fuck. I'm getting more comfortable bragging about myself, you know, just a little bit, not too much. Let's start off with also, like, everybody knows this, we're awesome moms. And this whole virtual learning thing is really a lot.
Yes,
but I'm really proud of like the effort that I'm giving with my daughter and her growth, and that makes me happy as a mom, whether, you know, people see it or not, because I don't really show my daughter on internet, but you know, she's with me every day, guys. Every day. She lives here.
She lives here. She's my roommate.
And just in between that, I'm like, I'm the only one that's back to work now. That's hard with all this COVID thing. Just, you know, gotta pay the bills.
Bills gotta get paid.
Yeah, and then just me working on the side, far as like with my agency, I'm still picking up gigs. I'm still learning new things with them. Sooner or later, I'll be taking acting classes, which that is exciting. That's also getting me out of my element, as in talking, as so as this podcast. Like, I'm not camera shy, but me talking on camera, yeah.
Oh, we know you ain't camera shy, girl. Look, y'all, look. You pull out a camera, Liz, she just lights up, honey. This is why she is my bikini honey model.
Yes, for life. You already know. And yeah, it's just sooner or later I'll be working with new photographers, new people, continuously working and growing with my modeling career, and just me being a better person, you know. I actually have sticky notes around the house now, guys, where I'm like, you know,
we being Mary Jane.
You know, it brought me back to those episodes where I got to remind myself, because like sometimes I get up and I feel like in a sluggish mode. And I'm like, okay, I gotta remind myself that, like I said, I'm fire as fuck, you know?
Hello?
So, yeah, I mean, that's all I have for you guys on me today.
Another, you just brought something up that just reminded me. Yes, I am a single mother raising my son, and I'm doing it without any financial support from his father. Mm-hmm. Full transparency, okay? Because I am holding this shit down.
Damn.
Yes. During a pandemic, okay? And my son has everything he needs and then some. So that's another talking point there.
Don't you find it, isn't it crazy how it's like when you hear about the baby mama, baby daddy narrative, it's like, oh, it's like so frequently broadcast of like the drama, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like the part that's not commonly broadcast is like how much we hold shit down and like how much we actually protect those men.
Yeah.
You know, like I could easily wreck shit on some like Angela Bassett, you know what I mean?
Wait to exhale.
Like I really could, like with like the artillery that I'm carrying and like the shit that I know and like the access I have, if I really wanted to, I could wreck shit, but I choose not to.
It's not our character. It's not.
No, it's not. But I'm saying this because I feel like, I honestly do feel like that's more common than what's being broadcast.
It's a lot of us who just raise our child and we mind our business. We mind our child's business. We just do what we got to do without creating this huge scene. Like, we just do it. And like you said, like it is almost like we're protecting these guys because it's definitely, and then
the crazy thing is like right when you say that, when you're like, oh, and I'm doing it on my own, and first off, that's admirable all by itself, you know, but then sometimes it can be looked at as where it's like, why you got to put him out there like that? And it's like, why am I protecting this? You know what I mean? Like, or why can't I have my glory? You know what I'm saying? Why can't I own that? Why do I have to be so concerned about what it may make him look like? It's obvious that he's not concerned with what it may make him look like. Because if he was, then he would, you know.
Right. He would do his part. Right.
Do his part. So, yeah. Like, yeah.
So, that was a full transparency moment because I had to say that. Like, that's something that I'm actually very proud that I am taking care of my child. He wants for nothing. Okay. Mm-hmm. He wants for nothing.
That's awesome.
I share that too. Are you done? Wait, I am.
Yes.
Okay. I share that too. Like I have these moments where like, I'm just vacuuming my house. And then I watch like the sun, you know, pierce through my blinds and like it's
not
just like
this
girl and like it just brings this over like this like very like serene like ambiance in my house and to know that I did that. Like I created that. I created that from nothing. Like I wasn't given anything. And not only did I create that for me, but I also created that for my son. For, like, when I see Elijah, like, you know, sleep and know that he's peacefully sleeping, that he sleeps so good here because he has no worry in the world. He's not worried about, you know, somebody coming to get him or he don't have no worry in the world. And I just watch my baby peacefully. And it's like to know that I'm capable of building that and creating that and giving that. It's like,
you turned a house into a home.
Right.
A safe space.
A safe space. Like, and I'm very proud of myself of creating that, you know, because it's not only, you know, I did it. I'm going to be honest. It was a very selfish act because I wasn't thinking about anybody but myself. But
it's okay. But,
yeah, no, it came out of my need. Like, what do I need for it to feel like a home? Like,
but you have to be straight in order for everyone else to be good.
And that's what I was about to lead to, is that, like, that's another a lesson. Like, I've always said that. Like, I used to say that to a girlfriend. I used to have, she had a kid, and I didn't have, Eli wasn't in the picture then. And I used to always preach that to her. I'm like, yo, like, you have to, like, invest in yourself, because once you're good, it automatically rolls off to your child. Like, if you're that type of mom that's set up that way, that, like, I understand that there's some moms that's not set up that way. But for those moms that are set up that way, it just automatically rolls off. So, like, because she's always like, I do it for my baby. I do. I'm like, but what do you do for you?
Right. Like, how what do you take care of yourself?
What do you do for you? And, like, every time she would do something for herself, the guilt would just be so heavy, because it's like she felt like she was taking away from her child. And this leads into my theme of this episode, which is perception. And perception is going, you're going to see where I'm going to go through, because it's like, I'm noticing that that's like a key factor with everything that's going on around me right now. And it's like, this is stuff that I tell Elijah, like, you change your perception, you can change the world. And that's what I honestly had to do. Like, I had, like, it's beyond putting your big girl panties on when it comes down to, like, climbing these mountains that we've had to climb, from being single mothers to being the sole, you know, financial supporter, to, you know, learning how to counsel yourself and how to say, Meek, it's okay to cry, you know, and, like, giving, get, like, how you say, be, like, giving yourself grace. And saying, like, yes, it's okay. It's all right. Have your moment and really have your moment. And then let's get back to this. You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. But not only when we get back to it, we gonna assess, reset, maybe pivot, you know what I mean? And get back to it. I'm so proud of myself. I honestly am. Like, you want to talk about giving shit and turning it into fucking gold.
Sunshine.
Yeah. like being placed in so many, I don't know, what the fuck, how is this, why me? I stopped asking that question. And being placed in what it has done, what 2020 has done, and I thank 2020 for this, is I thought that I was strong. But over through 2020, I've definitely built up my callus, you know, like, mm-hmm. when it comes down to handling hard I don't like the word hard, dealing with challenging situations. Like, you have to build that callus. You have to, like, you're gonna be in your room, like, puzzled and like, what the fuck? And like, shit, I had a fucking panic attack like fucking three weeks ago. And, you know, through, like, some friends, but also with myself, had to counsel myself through that. And guess what? 3 days later, I was back at it. Like, back at it, stronger than ever. And right. Even gained some lessons from it. So, mm-hmm. If I was to brag on myself, it's like, I feel even more than ever that I'm becoming the woman I know I'm destined to become. And I can feel her. Like, I can honestly feel myself align. Like, before, I knew I was, like, divided inside. I knew it. Like, I could feel it. Like, I would have this dream of a vision of me, but I knew who I was. And it was, like, it just seemed so far away. But I can now literally feel them coming together.
You're finding your purpose.
Well, my purpose was already found, but, like, to really, it's kind of like that line that Drake said, and I'm going to fuck this up because I'm ripping right now.
Just ask Liz. She know all Drake's lyrics.
What's that line said? He said, when you become what you think you are.
What song is, what's the name of the song?
Fuck. Now I'm going to have to revisit it. I'm going to bring it up later on in the show. Well, basically, it's like, you know, you have, and it's crazy because we just talked about this in one of my class. You have the person that you are. You have the person that you ought. And ought is the person that you goal to be. And then you also have the person that's like, you know, like your default self. The person that, like, you know, got the bad habits kind of thing. And I feel like I'm becoming more aligned with my ought self of, like, I knew I was capable of doing this. I knew I was, you know what I mean? I always knew I had it all, but fear, doubt, anxiety, you know, distractions, all that shit, like, always got in the way. So it wasn't until 2020 set my ass down, removed all of that shit out of my motherfucking life, and where I had no choice.
It puts a mirror in front of you, and you have no choice but to look at yourself.
Right. And I think also what it comes down to is I always say, with great awareness comes great responsibility. You get to a point where, like, you become consciously aware of who the fuck you are. And at that state, you have to decide, am I going to go back into bliss ignorance, or am I going to choose responsibility? And responsibility is hard as fuck. Like, you have to, like, own it and be like, okay, nah, I can't do that right now. Yeah, I want to have fun, but I can't do that right now. Or you can go back to ignorant bliss. But the fact of the matter is, you know what the fuck you're doing now. You know what I mean? Yeah. So those rules really don't apply. So, yeah, like, I've been killed. Like, I ain't gonna lie, every day, like, with this homeschooling shit, 1 week I feel like I'm a fucking, you know, the best teacher in the world. The next week I'm like, bro, what the fuck just happened? Like, what and how and all that. But
that's normal.
I just have to continue just to have faith. And also through this whole process with 2020, I've truly learned what it means to trust myself. Mm. You know, like, trust that I'm making the right decision, not only when it pertains to me, but when it pertains to Elijah. Like, I know my son. I know, like, you know, his flaws and, like, you know, where he excels at. Like, and sometimes I'll be, like, homeschooling him, and I'm like, fuck, did I do the right thing? Fuck, is it too late to go down and register, like, him in a class? Like, what the fuck? But then, like, I'll actually see the virtual learning, and I'm like, yeah, Elijah can't be, like, Elijah, no, I, like, no, you right. Like, you did
the right thing.
Yeah.
You're following your gut.
Yeah. And I'm learning to do that with a lot of things, like business, school, personal, health, spiritual, everything. Just truly, like, trusting me, you know? So, I always knew I was a badass, you know what I mean? But, you see, now I know why you call me Toni Childs, because I've been watching more Girlfriends.
You watching it? You see?
Yeah. So I definitely do have some Toni in me. Yeah, I always knew I was a fucking badass, but I feel it even more now than I ever have ever. You know,
your skin, like, look good. Your edges, like, is growing in. Who is she?
For makeup, and I don't know how long. I'm like, oh my god, I love this person that I'm becoming. Yeah, like, yes. So I'm excited. I'm completely excited. I'm truly excited to see, like it's not like what's next. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, I was just talking about that because I have friends who have, like, this, like, they wake up early. They just have this, like, lust for life. Like, each day is a new opportunity to get up and, like, get it.
Mm-hmm.
And I really admire that about a lot of people. Like, you know, we got Elizabeth here who will be at the gym at 6 a.m. It's like, bro, you just got off work like 4 hours ago. But, you know, you start your day, you get up, you go at it because you got goals and you have a certain thing that, you know, it's something personal that you're trying to obtain. I love that. Right. Like, I like to see people say, you know what, this is what I want. And there are certain things that I need to do to obtain it. And I'm checking off each box until I get exactly what I'm trying to reach.
I mean, but Bethany, you do that too. You up to like 4 a.m. editing videos. Like, I'm not doing that.
No, so it's crazy. But you're doing something like
that personal for you because you want to achieve. You want to get better at doing that because that's something that you're interested in, you know?
But that's crazy that you bring it up, because I think that's important when it pertains to, like, personal growth. Is that, like, especially now with social media, we have a over like access of options, or like, how can I say, like you see so-and-so living they life this way, and so-and-so living they life this way, and it's kind of like a catalog type of thing where it's like, ooh, I want to dress like this but have a business like this and did it like this, and it's like, no. Mm-hmm. Like, you, it's kind of like how can I say this, how you say, like, making your house a home. Like, you gotta go in as though and like look around within yourself and, okay, I can upholster some wallpaper here, lay some carpet here, and make it home inside. Like, you can't sit here and judge or try to, you know, be like, or, you know, aspire to be like other people. I, me personally, so that might work mentally for some people, but me personally, is when I start to get to know who Meek was, and I started becoming more accepting of who the fuck I was. And when it was like, Meek, you know what? You're not a morning person. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't get up in the morning. Like, no, that means I have to reassess myself. Like, look, you think that you could just lay down and go to sleep and just wake up in the morning? No, you don't work that way. The way you work is, you got to get a certain level of sleep, or like, set your alarm at 6 o'clock so your ass will be up at 8. Like, that's
it. No, that's shit. You know, I was having a conversation with my mom because, you know, I wish that I could be a morning person. Mm-hmm. However, the life that, you know, so Meek and I, we work together, you know, in the nightclubs, we dance together. You know what I mean? We get home at 3:30, 4 in the morning. There's no way that we're going to go home. We're going to get 2 hours of sleep and get up at 6:30 and just magically become. No, we had to tailor, you know, a lifestyle that worked for us. We had to make something that worked for us. Everything isn't going to look the same across the board. Like, some people, you know, yeah, they can get up at 5:30, go run a mile, you know, come home, get dressed, shower, you know, and go to work. But that's not for everybody. I had to realize, like, what everybody else is doing, that's not for me. I have to do what works for me, my lifestyle, my child, what, you know, because I've always been against this whole term where people be like, you know, I'll sleep when I'm dead, blah, blah, blah. No, honey.
No, you need sleep.
I'm going to get my 8 hours. That's what I'm going to do.
Go on, Bethany. I wish I could.
No, but and that's another thing when it pertains down to trusting yourself. I'm trusting my body. My body say, like, right now, I'm exhausted to the point where, like, I can't even, my thoughts are, like, processing very slowly right now. I'm like, I need some fucking sleep. And best believe, once I lay my ass down, I am sleeping. And that's the benefit of homeschooling. Because guess what? That bitch gonna ring in once I say it rings in. Yeah. I don't gotta log in for nobody else. So if that's what I need, like, no. And but I've also done that with Elijah. Like, I've honestly done that with Elijah. And it's crazy how, like, when you're a mother, you can kind of read that with your child. Where it'd be like, you know what? He needs to rest. You know, like he needs rest, not medicine. Like, he needs rest. Like, I've done that where, like, it was a school day, and I'm like, no, I'm going to let you sleep until you just wake up naturally. You know
what I mean? Yeah, I did that too.
Yeah. Yeah. So, are you done bragging on yourself, Meek?
Yeah.
That's it?
Forever.
Yeah.
I mean, not to mention that she's working right now. But, you know.
Yeah, you know.
Look
at her. She over there typing like a motherfucker. Goddamn. Murder she typewriter.
Look, this is the type of shit you gotta do when you about to become a doctor. So, I don't.
All right, Dr. Johnson. Well, that sucks because you won't be able to be my therapist.
No, she's still gonna be mine. We already had this talk.
Why can't I be your therapist?
I can't hire her, bro. She know too much.
That's true. It might affect the way you receive what I'm trying to give you right now.
Not me. It to me raw.
I'm like truly excited.
Is a really healthy practice, is to, you know, to speak well about yourself. Because a lot of people just talk so negatively about themselves. And I feel like it's out of fear. It's like, some people are afraid to really become their true powerful selves.
Right.
Like when you get to a certain level.
Also, but it's also that narrative of it being seen as conceited. Or, yeah, you know what I mean? Like, and all
you're
that.
You're not humble.
You're not humble. What, man?
All right. So we're going to move on to, I guess, the hot topic of the week. So here we are, guys. We're talking about this bald-headed hoe again. Tory Lanez is back in the news, honey. He decided to crawl out of his hole, crawl from out of the troll bridge that he was up under, and he has resurfaced. He decided to tweet. He said, to my fans, I'm sorry for my silence, but respectfully, I got time today, 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So people thought, like, you know, he was going to go live and address the situation. But for some reason, he thought it was a good idea to release a 17-track album addressing the incident between himself and Megan Thee Stallion. So did you guys listen to Tory Lanez's album?
I did.
I actually did.
The whole thing, or did you just pick through the songs?
I didn't listen to all of them. I probably listened to probably like 7.
That's a lot, bro.
Maybe 6.
So why? Why did you guys listen? What made you want to tune in?
I mean, I tuned in because it was going to be a topic of the show, mostly. And I wanted to hear both sides of the story before I spoke on it. And obviously, there's two sides of the story. And he said he didn't do it in his music. Like, he specifically said, like, he did, like, not that he didn't do it, that, like, how it happened, it wasn't, like, how she's saying it happened. And she knows that. And he's kind of hurt. He's hurt. He's upset that all the people who he thought was his friends are not, you know, are speaking out on him. And that all of them had his number and they could have called him if anything and asked him specifically, like, did you do that? You know what I'm saying? And he's human too, you know, at the end of the day. And I actually feel bad for him after listening to that album. I feel really bad. I mean, I feel really bad for him. He's sad. He's hurt. And obviously,
so you gonna throw him some sympathy pussy?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, sympathy pussy.
Like, Jesus, no. But yeah, I feel bad for the little guy. Next. <That's>
hilarious.
So what made you listen, Meek?
So okay, I have to take a moment, and I'm always checking everybody else, and I gotta take this moment to, like, I guess you can say, publicly check myself. During this Tory and Megan thing, I did something that I said on this show that I would not do. And that was very hypocritical of me. And that is when we spoke that, oh, you know, if a woman comes out and have allegations against a man, I'm automatically going with the woman. And I spoke against it. And I spoke of, like, my concerns with, like, if a girl was to do that to Elijah. And when this first came out, I did exactly that. But I looked deeper into it. And so I listened to the album. And at the end of the day, we don't know what the fuck happened. And so I'm like, I feel for Megan, you know, because I'm a huge fan. But at the end of the day, I was not there. And I don't know what the fuck happened. So all that bashing I did, that was very hypocritical of me to, like, do all that bashing. And there are two sides of the story. Also, fuck, where am I going with this? trying to remember my train of thought. Fuck, I can't. I like lost my train of thought. But oh, but also like another thing too is I do think a lot of people are using this. Before I go down that road, I do think a lot of me like coming at him was from me being a Black woman and me knowing what that feels like to go unseen, unheard, unprotected. And so like a lot of that was, you know, I'm not excusing, like I said, I don't know. I'm not on nobody's side. Like I can't sit here and be like, I'm all on Megan or I'm on Tory. I'm not on anyone's side. The shit was fucked up, bottom line. And to be honest, if he shot that girl for no reason, he's fucked up. If she came out and lied on him and knows the truth, she's fucked up. And that's my stance on it. But I do feel, I still have a strong stance on like Black women not being protected. So like, I do feel like that was a bit, like I was projecting a bit when I was like going in on him. But it's gonna be interesting to see how this shit all unfolds. Unravels. Also, I do question some people's intent like addressing him, you know, like taking it to social media. Like I do question some people's intent because they have questionable behavior themselves. So it's like, if you, it's not even about asking like, hey man, did you do it? No, like if you really want to get in contact with this dude, it was multiple ways that you could have gotten in contact with this dude, but then to just publicly just like to do like a whole kind of low-key like show monkey, you know, thing about it. Yeah, it's like I do question not everybody, but some people I do question like their motives behind it.
His friends. So-called
for me, I didn't listen to it. I just feel like it was just incredibly in poor taste. I think it was bad timing, especially with, you know, it being not even 24 hours with, you know, the officers not being charged with Breonna Taylor's death, with her being shot and killed. You know, a lot of people question if Megan was even shot at all. And, you know, medical records, I guess, people have obtained Cedars-Sinai's records saying like, yeah, they removed fragments of bullets from her foot. So it's saying, yeah, she was shot. Of course, we were not there. We don't know who pulled the trigger. But I think the most important thing when it comes to me is when Megan came out on live and she said, Tory shot me. That's it. So, you know, this is still under investigation. So, you know, people are doing their job as far as, you know, looking into this to solve this crime or whatever. But I'm going to believe Megan until otherwise proven wrong. I just feel like Tory releasing this album is almost like he is using her trauma to sell records. He is using this to get people on his side and turn himself into a victim. Like he's like, no, look at me. Like these people took me off their albums and, you know, this is fucked up and people don't believe. Like, bro, this happened and you literally went radio silent, which honestly I think was the smartest thing to do, was to not say a thing.
Do you think so? Doing an album some, was, like some, like people like, okay, you saying like, cause
if
like,
if this was my son and he was accused of shooting a woman, I would not advise my child to be quiet. If he didn't do it, I'm like, no, we're going to, you know, you're going to go out here and explain what happened. Why right. be silent I if mean, you didn't do it? If someone right. said, bro, if some, if, but if no, Eli no. came home and was like, yo, mom, this girl's saying that I shot her, blah, blah, blah. You don't
No, but we also need to like, cause a lot of things are in place here. And so I think that's the part that's kind of like getting removed. It's like, it's real easy when you're not the one that's making millions off of songs, when you're not the one who career is on the line, when you're not the one whose name is being bashed, to say, oh, if I was him, I would have done this. It's the same thing with Megan, where it's like, you're not the one who was shot, to so to be like, well, why did she get on live? And that's the thing, is that like, because everything that. Is, no, you didn't question it, but people did question it. So what the thing is that we get so caught up in speculating and like watching this shit like we watching like fucking Love and Hip Hop on our fucking phones, where it's like, no, these are actually lives that are involved in them. And the simple fact is, it's none of our fucking business. It's none of our business. And we don't know what happened. Nobody knows what happened. You hear two different sides of the story. You have Megan's side of the story. She has fragments in her foot. And then you have Tory's side of the story. He has this whole album. To sit here and say, oh, it wasn't in good taste. When was he supposed to speak? If he was to speak before Megan spoke, people still will have something to say. There's never a good time to speak on this type of hot, like highly emotional case like this ever.
So
ever.
For me, I feel like when it comes to he say, she say, men usually get the benefit of the doubt. So this was really like triggering for me because I've been in an incident. I know exactly what it feels like to be physically hurt, physically harmed by a man, like literally busted up, bruised. Like you can literally see what happened to me, and people say that I'm lying or they have sympathy for him. It's like, oh, well, what did you do to make him do that to you?
Yeah.
So it was, I mean, because as soon as this happened, it was like, oh, you know, she's, you know, super tall. She's a man.
No, and
or,
that
you know,
shit's but, fucked that, up too. That shit's fucked up. So that shit is equally fucked up as well.
It's triggering for a lot of people because men are usually going to get the benefit of the doubt. And I feel so strongly about, you know, protecting Black women and trusting Black women when they say they have been harmed in some kind of way. I'm not going to go and be like, well, I want to hear both sides. It's just kind of like,
no, I do. And I think that's the thing that I had to own up to, is that like, just like you, how that was triggering for you, it was triggering for me because I have the same experiences, but I can't allow my personal experiences to allow me to make irrational decisions of like just siding with someone and not hearing the clear facts. The fact of the matter was, she also was highly intoxicated as well. So it's like, I'm not, and like I'm saying, anyone that's speaking against Megan and saying that they like trying to like throw all the shade at Megan, they're just ass fucking wrong. So I'm not siding with Megan over Tory, because all I'm trying to say is, give it time for everything to roll out so we can have an actual story, find out what actually happened, and then make our stance and be like, Tory, that way we can fucking grill his ass the way he, you know, rightfully would deserve to be grilled if he did do it the way she said he did it. You know, to jump to conclusions before everything started, before the process and everything started to roll out, and to also not add the fact that politics does play a huge part in this. People do start moving certain ways when they need a certain outcome, so that way it doesn't affect how things play out, whether it's your music career and, you know, possible business connections and future money negotiations. That shit actually is a thing. There's other people involved that we don't even know who their fucking names are. So and they're getting us involved and this is on both parties. This is on both parties that they're influencing us emotionally. So
you know, I read some of the lyrics with him, you know, still admitting he admitted to still like being in love with Megan. And it's just unfortunately, it's all so triggering. I just feel like we're being manipulated. I feel like he's been reading all these comments and being able to, you know, take the comments of these men bashing Megan as if this is something that she almost deserved, you know, using this solidarity of like, you know, toxic male behavior and comments in the, you know, in under Megan's photos on Twitter or wherever it may be. And it's like, it's almost like, it just feels like patriarchy and capitalism have just like linked up together to capitalize off of a traumatic moment. Like this girl is still healing from this.
But you know that argument can also be stated for Megan as well. Because also right after this situation, she released like a couple of singles that are now like chart toppers, and people could say
like
that people can say that she used the whole sympathy thing to help, you know, like catapult that. What do you mean, like what? The party song. What the hell?
They did that months.
They did that. They recorded that. But I'm talking about releasing it. And it also has Megan on it. So I'm talking about. I'm not saying like she went in the party recorded. Team, you know. No, but that. But Megan is still a part of it.
Yeah, but as far as the rollout, Megan can't let this stop her career and stop her flow.
I'm not asking that. I'm just playing devil's advocate, and all I'm saying is that everything that you're stating for Tory can also be stated for Megan. And the bottom line is, we don't know what the fuck happened. That's all I'm saying. We don't know what the fuck happened. So
I just feel like Black pain is industrialized, and like we don't really receive justice, but we'll get a documentary and people will make money off of that. Black women get shot and you get an album.
Yeah, you get sales, and then for his team to come out and say,
oh, you know, proceeds of the album is going to go to Breonna Taylor's foundation. And like, bro, come on.
It sounds like
a nightmare to be a part of Tory Lanez's PR team. I would have quit. I'm like, bro, I can't. This is just too much. It just seems like everything is just incredible tacky timing, and to make an album, it just seems like it's just in poor taste. Like he's to put out an album.
But to be honest, B, like, if he was to sit on live in a suit, fucking feeding the children before anything, it says something, you still wouldn't have listened to what the man had to say because you already have your perceived notion, you know, or like your biasness when it comes down to the situation. Exactly. So
very familiar. Yeah.
Exactly. And so I think that and that's where, like, with me, I mean, to make a rational decision, especially, and I think that's also, I feel like us jumping to conclusion when it pertains to cases like this interferes with cases getting its proper justice. I honestly do believe that because like we get so emotionally riled up that once things start tries to process, it starts to interfere.
I just feel like it's that our brain is triggered because it's something that's familiar and it gives us this moment where we're like, something about this I don't trust. Like your gut is telling you something.
Yeah.
And yeah, you can call it emotional, whatever, but sometimes that's needed to make sound decisions.
I mean,
until you know, LA, they do their investigations and they say who, whatever happened, cool. But that girl was shot and she said it was him. And that's just what I'm going with.
But besides all that, the thing I do agree with is that for him to go on an album and confess his love to Megan, it's like standing up for her to see, you know, to win when people were like attacking her. You know what I mean? So like that I do have an issue with, because that is something I can talk on, because that is something that was displayed in front of me. That was something that was displayed in front of me, where it's like, you know, you go, and this is something that's common where men talk about how much they love a woman, but when, you know, she is in need or, you know, whatever, like you're not there to, like, you didn't say anything, you didn't come out, you didn't tell your fans or whatever to stand down, and you didn't say like, hey, you know, guys, like, don't do that, the truth will come out. You didn't say nothing like that. You just allowed it to happen. So to me, that was bad, you know. But like I said, after more of the stories start coming out, I feel like I can make a more of a sound decision on like whether I need to fucking grill this gremlin or, you know what I'm saying? Or
yo, his music don't even slap like that, bro. I'm sorry.
It's not that bad.
I can go without listening to him without a problem.
Yeah, it's a couple people I can't name three songs.
Yeah, Perception. Okay. Word of the
word of no, the it day. Is. It's all. It definitely is all.
Word of the day.
All Perception.
Ooh, I'm sorry, I just can't rock with this. I don't know. It's just something about his voice and his tone. And then, like, certain interviews I've seen of him is just something that just has always turned me off of this guy. And I'm not like, and it has nothing to do with his height. And I'm just being honest here. Him being short as hell, that's not an issue for me. It's just something about his energy that just has always turned me off. And I follow my gut, and until, you know, I am proven absolutely wrong that Megan is out here being a big bold faced lie or what, you know, then cool.
The plot has definitely thickened, like for real. And all I gotta say is that
I told you, like, I would not want to be a part of any of their, like, Megan's PR team, Tori's PR team especially. I would want to be a part of it. Jeez. Like that, I'm like, look, I'm about to put in my 2 weeks because no, ma'am.
That's the part in Fame that I just can't get with, where it's like, it just completely removes the human factor of it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and that's the thing with social media.
I can't rock with that. Like, in the whole...
When Doja Cat was going through her whole thing, I know her PR team was like, she went live, and I know it was definitely against the counsel of her PR team.
Yeah.
So she could speak on, you know, some of the comments and, you know, allegations that were made against her. I just can't. It's almost like you're trying to babysit someone from afar, and people are going to do what they want to do. So,
right,
yeah,
but then also people are so fucking judgy on people, like, as though you can't, you know, have a change of mind or can't be taught a lesson or, like, you know, yeah, like, it's some shit that I've said on this show that, like, now I probably wouldn't say the same thing. You know what I mean? And I feel like people just act like they just so fucking perfect, dog. And it's like, yo, like, I might say some irate shit today and then tomorrow be like, really think about what the fuck I said and be like, yo, and that's the reason why I had to think about the whole Tory thing and also think about, like, why I felt the way I felt. I had to own that shit. Like, you know what? I really went in on old dude. I don't know him. I wasn't there. You know what I mean? But I can admit that it had a lot of it had to do with my own biasness and my own projections of from what I've gone through as a Black woman. And it's sad. It's sad that as Black women, we've gone through such turmoil and pain that we have to set ourselves up that way. You know what I mean? To be on a defense and to be on guard like that. Like, that's sad. So
I think when it comes to Tory, like, knowing that, you know, in certain video shoots, he requests, like, light-skinned women, like, he has a certain aesthetic that he's trying to put out there with his whole image. It just turned me off. And it's something about him that just, it just does, like I said, it's the energy that he gives off that I just can't rock with. But I mean, let's say he could be a cool person. Let's say if Megan's lying, right? Cool. I'm still, nothing's gonna convince
but you,
me.
But you never were
to, like,
a Tory rock fan.
With him.
But
right,
no,
exactly.
You weren't a Tory fan before right. this. Like, so no. like that I'm not surprised.
Because of interviews and things that I've, like, heard from people who know him. I just, it's something about him I just can't rock with. But yeah, it's all exhausting. Just like this whole Breonna Taylor incident. The Attorney General, Daniel Cameron, they had the whole press conference, and before the press conference even came about, they issued a state of emergency in the state of Kentucky because they knew shit was about to turn up. Once they made the announcement that none of the cops were going to be charged for her death. So the cop that was fired in June, his last name is Hankinson. He was charged with 3 counts of wantonly endangering Taylor's neighbors by firing shots that entered their apartment, which is weird because Louisville paid $12 million to the to settle the wrongful death suit filed by Breonna's estate. But yet no cop has been charged for her death. And I just don't see how those two things add up, where a cop was charged basically for firing recklessly, blindly into Taylor's apartment, putting other people around her in danger. But the woman who was actually hit by those bullets and killed, they don't get charged for that. It's okay, sick. So I haven't, ever since I heard about this whole situation, I haven't posted much of anything about it because I felt this coming. Like I knew that no one was gonna be charged. Like I just didn't see justice being served for a Black woman, and if that's sad in itself. You know, she was hit 6 times. She was shot 6 times, and to see online people trying to justify why, you know, she died, why she should, you know, like, you know, saying that her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, you know, fired a warning shot, that, you know, for some reason to some people out here, just they feel like that justifies her being dead at this moment because her boyfriend fired a warning shot on a no-knock warrant that they were like, of course, if someone is breaking into your, you think someone's breaking into your house and you're a registered gun owner, you're going to fire a warning shot to let people know like, yo, back I'm up. Strapped, bro. Don't come this way. But if you don't know that cops are entering your spot, like, what are you supposed to do in this situation? It is just so infuriating to the point where I have to push this out of my brain to, like, live a normal life because it's so incredibly frustrating. Like, what do you do? She was sleeping. She was sleeping, and she died. This young girl's life has been taken. It is... I just really feel like, you know, of course, this system isn't made for people who look like us. It's not made for us to flourish in this world, honestly. Let the United States, no, the world, no, like this place is not made for us. The laws aren't made for people who look like us. God, I don't even know like where to where to take it. It's just no way that they can make this make sense. The attorney general, he declined to explain the discrepancy or respond to the 13 other questions about the case. They just like, hey, here it is. It is what it is. And deal with it. We out.
Just continue. How do you guys feel about it? Just to continue to give us just no faith in the legal system. Of the lack of the investigation is sad. It's like this. It's like we're repeating ourselves every time something else comes up. They're not doing anything, and they don't give a fuck because it's like about them, and they don't care about us brown skin, kids, men, women. It don't matter. They just don't give a fuck.
Right. It's been so many Black people, women and children, mm-hmm. in particular, who have been killed in their sleep. Who have been
by police.
There are, yeah, like they bust up in people's apartments and homes mm-hmm. in the middle of the night when people are the most vulnerable and people have lost their lives. And to not see justice is just this cycle that just keeps repeating. Like, at what point does this end?
It's not.
Like, it's the most frustrating shit.
It's not.
Yeah, no, this whole thing is like a bit frustrating. In our minds, because we are the oppressed, it seems as though the it's an easy fix, but it's definitely not an easy fix when there's a whole population of people that actually want the system to stay the way that the system is. Right. I think it's time for us as a community, Black community. People, not even Black community, people of color, because, and this might shake some people the wrong way, but as y'all know, I don't give a fuck, that I'm going to say people of color, because the truth is that, yes, you know, as Black people, we want to be like, well, this is about Black lives. Like, yes, it's about Black lives, but we also need to start fighting smarter instead of, you know, harder. I mean, you know, like instead of wearing ourselves thin, we need the numbers. As Blacks, we are only 12-13% of the population. So we need the numbers. So yes, I'm going to say people of color. I'm speaking to brown. I'm speaking to Asian. They've all had some type of racial discrimination placed, situations within their communities. Second, Like, to think that a simple conviction is going to bring forth the justice that Breonna Taylor, you know, deserves, I think that's that we sold ourselves short, completely short. To like, and once again, we fell in line with the routine and the system that they've given us. What needs to happen is we need to completely ratify the Constitution that allows for shit like that to happen. Like, the Attorney General can simply say that what those cops did was constitutional. And that is the document that we,
so how do we get to the point?
Are supposed to. The Constitution can be ratified. And the sad thing is that it's only been ratified 27 times. It's close to being 300 years old.
So how do we get to the point where we can change the Constitution?
That I don't have. I haven't sat and thought that out completely yet. But that's where it needs to be done. Because even if we were to convict one cop of, you know, for the life of the life of Breonna Taylor, there's going to be another Breonna Taylor as long as that Fourth Amendment still exists, where it gives law authorities the permission to bust in your home with probable cause. Like, oh, well, I think you have some criminal activity. I'm just going to come busting in and blazing. Like, that gives them that permission. There's a lot of laws that are that give law enforcement that leeway that we need to completely go back and rewrite and revisit. Like, that's what I think, that when I was sitting here thinking about it, it's like, it's beyond a conviction. Like, right. That shit shouldn't even be allowed at all.
And I feel like this is, you know, a good point to bring up why voting is important, because Daniel Cameron, the Attorney General, was elected into office. So voting is important. You gotta, just because he's Black doesn't mean that he's gonna be for us. You know, he seems to low-key look like he's a puppet for Trump's agenda and the Republican Party's agenda. And to, you know, for people to say that they're not voting, this is a prime example of why it is important to go out and show up and show who you would rather have in office instead of someone who's not going to get shit taken care of.
But also the same thing that you and I have been preaching for this whole time. Do your due diligence and find out what that person's agenda is.
Exactly.
Don't go off of something as simple as the color of their skin.
Exactly.
Because I'm pretty sure I can find someone in the state of Kentucky that voted for that man because he was Black.
Right. That's what I mean. And do your due diligence. Go and do your research. See what these people's platform is all about. Like, yeah, you don't really rock with a certain Republican or Democrat, you know, whatever party that you go for. Do your research and see what these people are really about, what their platform is, what they are trying to, you know, impact with, you know, if they are eventually elected. These elected officials are failing their people, us taxpayers. They're really like, they're fucking up. And I hope, you know, Kentucky really sees what's going on right now and they get that nigga the fuck up out of there. Cause this shit is sick.
I know I'm gonna sound radical, but to be honest, like, sometimes when you find a building and you try to what's it called, like, rehab it, sometimes you just gotta knock the whole fucking building down and just build all over. And right. I'm starting to have a feeling that, like, that's exactly what needs to be done. Like, this whole fucking, like, you know, that people have been like zoning in on police reform. No, the whole fucking system needs to be extracted and rebuilt.
Because it was never designed for us.
To include others. It was never designed to include others. When that Fourth Amendment was written, like, we as Black people weren't even considered to be human. So to think that law is going to be upheld, you know, or is not going to be upheld, or they're going to make an exception when it comes down to a Black woman's life, is to be, it's honestly, it's a bit like crazy. So yeah, like, it needs to all be like, I think we need to throw the whole fucking government away. Like, I think it's honestly time. No, I'm serious. I'm dead ass. It sounds crazy.
It sounds crazy because it's damn near impossible.
No, it's not.
It will take a lot of solidarity.
Exactly. But it's not to say impossible means that it can't happen. And so, and y'all know I'm very particular about like words. Like to say impossible, damn near impossible, means like it damn near can't happen. And like I get what you're saying. Like we probably won't see it in our lifespan. But that's where we're going towards. We can't think that we can honestly continuously like change our experience here in this country through this system that was given to us that wasn't for us. Like, I think that's a bit kind of like insane, and it's crazy because other countries have overthrown their government. Like, other countries have successfully overthrown their government. Like, it's honestly time for some new shit. Like, the fact that our presidents still are of a certain of an old age, like, why do we have such old ass presidents? Like, am I the only one asking this? Why are they at 70? Why are there positions that are life term? Why? When it's obvious that judge is no longer with the times. Like, why? Why is that a thing? Why, like, why is there electoral college? Like, why? It no longer serves its purpose. It did 100 years ago, whatever, but it no longer serves its purpose. And actually, it gives way more room for corruption and crookedness. Why are there private prisons? How can you be federally charged and charged on a state level but sent to a private prison? Where the 13th Amendment states that if you are a prisoner, you are technically a slave. How and why? Why is that a thing? How are we sitting talking about this is rehabilitation or, you know, like, and it shows, stats shows that men are coming out of prison and they are worse than when they went in there. Like, school systems fucked up. I'm talking about every level. Things are just fucked. Honestly, if it continues this way, we're going to end up turning into a third world country. Third world country.
We're definitely on our way. But there, change is happening. It is. It may look microscopic, but change is happening. You know. It's really day by day, month by month, because and year by year, it's happening, but it's slow. So that may, you know, frustrate people because it's not because, you know, a lot of us, we look for instant gratification. It's not going to be that. It's the really slow and steady. It's a marathon. Like Nipsey said, right. It's really a marathon.
Right. And what I'm asking is not, it's definitely not instant gratification. I guess my whole thing is just like, it's kind of like, I don't know. I can't think now. I can't really think straight tonight. But
let's switch topics here, because that whole shit is just incredibly frustrating. But I want to talk about Vanessa Bryant. You know, she has had one hell of a year. January, her whole life was turned upside down, where she lost her child and her husband. She has recently filed a lawsuit against the Los Angeles County Sheriff, claiming that deputies shared unauthorized photos of the crash that killed Kobe and Gianna and seven other people. The deputy, I guess, was like on a date, and I guess he was trying to impress a woman and, you know, decided like, oh, yeah, I was there when this happened. And here's the photos. And I believe that woman was mortified, like, why would you take pictures? So it got out that he, you know, took pictures of the crash site, and he may not be the only one that did it. So she has filed a lawsuit, and I hope she gets everything that she's asking for. But while she's grieving the loss of her child and her husband, having a traumatizing year, she's also dealing with some issues with her mother. Not her mother-in-law, but her own mama. So her mama was on a Spanish show called, look, let's see how my Spanish is, okay? She was on a show called El Gordo y La Flaca. Y'all tell me how that sounds when y'all listen to this. So she was on the show to explain her recent falling out with Vanessa. So Vanessa's mother, Sophia, claims that Kobe took care of her financially while he was alive, but Vanessa cut ties with her after Kobe passed away. And we didn't know anything really about Vanessa and her family. We really didn't hear much about Kobe and his relationship with his family. But now that he has passed away, you know, people are talking, and it's just really unfortunate that private matters are becoming public, especially in the middle of grieving. I just really hate that for her. So she provided a statement to the program in response to her mom's claim. So she said, "My husband and daughter passed away unexpectedly, and yet my mother had the audacity to do a television interview speaking negatively about me while shedding tears for a car and a house that were not in her name. She has removed all of her diamond jewelry, emptied the apartment I provided, and put away the furniture to make it look like she doesn't have my support. My husband and I supported her financially for the past 20 years and continue to do so in addition to her monthly alimony. Contrary to previous reports, she has not been physically present or emotionally supportive of my daughters and me after my husband and daughter passed away. Now I see what is most important to my mother, and it's more than painful. I hope that everything that is coming out about our personal relationship ends here." This is sad. And what this makes me think of is there are a lot of people who feel like because someone is your family, that you have to keep them in your life and keep them around, no matter how toxic they may be to you. This is a prime example of, like, sometimes you just need to cut people off. Just because, you know, Vanessa, you know, and her husband were financially well off, that doesn't mean that this is, like, just because you're her mother doesn't mean that you're supposed to be taken care of for the rest of your life. Not to mention, this, her husband and her daughter, they died in a traumatic way. And you go on an interview, not even, 8 months after their passing, to talk about how you're not being taken care of financially. It is so incredibly fucked up. And this just, I just wanted to ask you guys, like, do you guys have a family member that you've had to cut off or that you've had to sever ties with because of their toxic behavior?
And absolutely.
Because I feel like they people have this happen in their families, but people are always advised, well, that's your mom, or that's your brother, or that's your dad, but they are literally causing harm to your emotional, mental, physical health, like your psyche. Like, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I think it's definitely draining. I've had a family member, a couple family members who I had to cut off, you know. I just feel like Vanessa Bryant's mom is like a perfect example of like why it's acceptable to cut off toxic people no matter who they are in your life, family, sister, brother, or not. They will always be toxic and end up poison. So yeah.
Yeah.
I don't believe that they will always be toxic, and I also believe by staying around and accepting that behavior, you're enabling them. And, you know, and it's not only stunning your growth, it's also stunning their growth. I personally had to cut off my own mother. You know, growing up, our relationship was rocky. And then once I got into like my early 20s, it really became very rocky. And I just completely, like, I went damn near 2 years without talking to her. And the gag to that was we lived literally right down the street from each other. So it wasn't like we were like in two different states or whatever. Like, no, live right down the street from each other. And the reason why I say that I don't believe that they will always be toxic is because, you know, I cut her off and we both did some growth, like both did some healing and both, you know, grew. And now we're closer than ever. And also we've learned how to manage each other, you know, like we've given each other that respect and learned how to manage each other. But I'm definitely not against cutting off families. Like, anybody can get it.
I mean, I get that. I just haven't had that experience.
Right.
So like, that's good that you guys, like, your mom is able to grow and, you know, not want to be as toxic as she was with you growing up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I haven't had that experience with the people I had to cut off with. So,
right.
Basically for me, and I'm in my late 20s.
Girl.
You yeah, 30. No, I haven't had Stop that. I haven't had that, you know, experience yet. So, you know.
Right.
You know, I'm going to be honest. I moved across the country from my family. I'm in Vegas. My family is North Carolina. I had some toxic family members that I definitely had to like physically remove my presence. Mm-hmm. And I'm just out here minding my black ass business and happy. So I'm all for whatever makes you happy and makes you feel good and makes your life better, your quality of life better. Do that shit. Blood. Look, My best friend, she always says that, you know, she has family that she has chosen. And that's her friends. Chosen family. And I like that term because sometimes, like, I love the fact that, you know, with you, Meek, that you were able to, you know, take your time from your mother and you guys grew and were able to reconcile and come back together different people. I mean, you know, you go through different things and you grow
and also it was a lot of things that had to change. Like you just have to accept that there's just certain people that you can't experience in a certain way. Like me and my mom, we cannot live together. Love her to death, we can't live together. You know,
I can't live with nobody.
And it's also like certain type of, you know, like exchanges that we just cannot have together. And like we both understand that. So it's like now we're able to actually enjoy each other. So it's like,
yeah, we said that's that's amazing that you could do that. Like, I wish.
Yeah, I wish.
Toxic in my life, you know, but
like I said last episode, my toxic trait is I will cut you off and peace out and you will never hear from me again. And I'm okay with that. However it make you feel.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's on you. But I have to do what makes me happy and what helps me grow as a person. Like, whatever you did that made me do that, I'm sure was for a reason, and I had to do it for personal growth. Vanessa is grieving right now, and grief is different for everyone. So if her mother needs to be out of the picture for her to get better and to heal, then that's just what the fuck needs to happen.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You know, that's another lesson too. Parents, I hope, like, please understand that your children are going to be the ones that take care of you if you set it up right once you get older.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like, to just walk around with this like entitlement, like I shitted you out. You bet, like, nigga, no. nigga, no. It doesn't work that way.
You know what? I just found out that a friend of mine, she had a falling out with her dad because he, after, you know, she, you know, became an adult, he felt like he could ask her for money because he paid child support. So it's kind of like, well, I paid child support for you while you were a child. Now you're an adult. So you kind of like owe me. It's like, what kind of entitlement?
I don't owe you shit.
You can kiss my ass from the motherfucking back. Okay. Suck a dick from the back. Like, that's that bullshit. And that's that toxic bullshit. Like, no. No.
So, and she was like, well, I haven't spoken to my dad since he called and asked me for money. I told him no, because she was like, I was a college student. I was broke. And he thought just because, you know, I was studying abroad that he could just, I guess because she was studying abroad, it looked like she was doing well for herself financially. He could just ask her for money. And she was like, well, I ain't got it. He hung up on her. He was like, oh.
But then that too, because like, to be honest, like, in my adulthood, people go through peaks and valleys. So I'm not the one to say like, oh, you know, because you're her dad, you can't ask her for money. No, people go through peaks and valleys. But it's the response when you don't get the response that you want, or the setup where you try to make it seem like I'm obligated to fucking do it. Like, right. No, You know, like, absolutely like, not.
I didn't ask to be here.
Right.
At all.
Right.
And did you raise me to become this, you know, this financially stable, independent person that could take care of you in your time of need? Because some people just be like, there are some parents out here who will have children because they are looking for someone to take care of them later. And that is the craziest thing to me. It's really sick. And with that, I just really hope that these kids that grow up into adults understand that at some point it is okay to remove that toxic behavior out of your lives. Yeah, I would like to move on, y'all, to the red light special. If you guys have a question for the ladies of the Crazy Sexy Cool podcast, shoot us a DM at crazysexycoolpod@gmail.com. Wait, what did I just say? Shoot us a DM at crazysexycoolpod on Twitter and Instagram, or shoot us an email.
And we just
may answer your question on the show. So today, we got someone asking for advice. So she says, a little over a year ago, she broke up with her boyfriend of 3 years for cheating. This young lady broke up with her boyfriend of 3 years for cheating and getting another woman pregnant. He recently called wanting to reconcile and get back together because he recently found out that the baby was not his. Mm-mm-mm. So he wants her back because he considers her as the one that got away. And she would like to know whether she should take him back or not. She says, of course, he admits to cheating, but says this situation that he went through has completely changed his outlook on life. So what do you guys think? Should she consider taking him back or should she move on?
I'm not taking him back. Me personally, I don't go backwards.
Okay.
You really only get one chance with me. I think I said this before on our show.
Yes, yeah.
You only get one chance. You only get one chance with me.
Your one take with Liz.
Yeah, and you mess up. Like, there was only one person who actually had a second chance, and that was the, you know, father of my child. But, you know, that didn't work out well. But other than that, you know.
So it's a no for you, Doc?
It's a no for me, but I mean, I can't speak for her. You know what I'm saying? If she solely really loved this man and still has, she's obviously thinking about it, like having second.
Yeah, because some people don't consider cheating as like a, you know, the end all be all. What do you think, Meek?
It all depends on where she's like where her feelings lie. Like, I'm not like a one, like, oh, you only have one chance with me. I'm not like that, especially if it's something that, like, I've been rocking. Now, if you're just some nigga I met, yeah, it's like that. But
if they were together for 3 years.
If we were, like, together, you know what I'm saying, like that, more than likely, yeah, I'm not, oh, you know, you fucked over, and I don't move that way. But it also does matter, like, where I'm at, with my feelings when it comes to you, because there is a moment where my feelings will completely, you know, be depleted. Like, I'm no longer, like, I look at you and I don't feel nothing. So there is that crossing moment. So if I've crossed that moment, then yeah, you don't have a fucking chance. But I'm all about people showing their actions. So he can sit here and say, like, it's changed his life. And if she's able to actually see the change of how he's viewing life and see it and see him apply it, and she still is in love with him, that could, you know what I mean? That could be that person that she needs to be on the porch rocking with. You know what I mean? Like...
What is your whole thing about rocking on a porch with
bruh,
your partner?
Like,
she sees that in her vision board. Her vision, yes. Like,
but literally, I see it with my grandmother. I saw it with my mom. like the older they got and like them being single and seeing my mom, she's now, you know, now remarried, and seeing how happy she is now that she has her partner. Like, it's not about like you need him, but like her life is there's way more understanding. I'm seeing her approach, you know, situations differently than she would in the past with other men and her being single. And it's like, once you find that person, like your partner, like, yeah, like it's different. Life is different. So, you know, you don't want to miss out on your partner because you're so worried about right. And no real talk, because people fuck up. People fuck up. Real talk. I don't know what happened around that time of him cheating, like, and what that was. That part I don't know, because that plays a big part in it as well. You know, it also depends on like the hurt that brought, you know, because it's easy to be like, oh yeah, I'll take him back. But sis, have you actually healed? Are you in a place where you can actually talk about the hurt that he caused? Because you're going to have to talk about it. You're not going to be able to just start all willy-nilly like ain't shit fucking happened. Y'all are going to have a conversation about what happened and what went wrong on both ends. On both ends.
So for me, I feel like if she feels like she will look back and regret not at least trying, then she should give it a shot. And if he again proves that, you know, that he's not the one, then you peace out. But you can always peace be out. Like, at least I gave it a shot. Right. I gave you a shot.
But also, in the mix of giving it a shot, be honest with yourself. And be honest. And when I say be honest with yourself, be honest with the pace. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you think that you good until something comes about. And you're like, nah, like, I'm not cool. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not okay. So you might have to take a slower pace, and he's going to have to respect that. Like, he ain't got no fucking choice. It's either you're going to respect it or you're going to fucking leave. So
yeah, because like, I mean, that situation can be trauma. Like, I feel for men who, you know, they feel like they have a baby, you know, a baby's on the way, because that brings on a lot of emotions for men. Like, oh my God, there's a new life about to be brought into this world, and you're preparing for this. And then to find out later that this child is not yours, that you have been like mentally, emotionally preparing yourself for, that can be a traumatizing moment. And I know that can shift how you think. So I feel like, you know, not saying like I'm trying to, you know, turn him into a victim, because things happen where, you know, he out here having unprotected sex with a woman who's out here having unprotected sex with other men. So this was a decision that he made, but I feel like this is something that should absolutely change your life. So if she is willing to take him back and to try it again, I wouldn't blame her for it. I wouldn't be like, oh girl, that's stupid. Why would you take him back? He cheated. Yeah. Like, no. I say give it a shot. That's my advice. Give it a shot until he proves that he ain't shit.
Also go to counseling.
It's a no for me, dog.
Also go to counseling. Like, go to counseling right now. Like right now. Or even have a period where like y'all have like a friendship period first. You know what I mean? Like I definitely wouldn't just rush into some like, oh, we back together. Like, right. Nah. I would definitely put him on like a 90-day period.
Okay, Steve Harvey, like, come on.
A 90-day period of like,
I don't know, she's serious about the 90 I'm days dead. Though. I'm oh God. God.
A 90-day rebuild period. And it's not on some like, if I don't, you know, it's not on some like, if I don't see this, then I'm out. It's just like, you can apply
on probation.
Exactly, because like you can apply this to anything in life when it comes down to like, you know, changing, you know, on taking on something new, something different, something that might be challenging, like working out. You know, if you can stick to it for 90 days, it's actually less than 90 days, but for sure, if you stick to it rigorously, like you're good. Like Like, it's now your habit. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if someone is committed to doing right by you and showing change, like, yo, like, no, I'm really about this. Because honestly, within the first 60 days, 30 days, they're going to be like, yo, I'm tired of talking about this. We've talked about this already. Like, you know what I mean? If you start getting that, maybe you should, like, reassess. But if he's like, babe, no, like, I want to stick this through. I want to fight for this. And you see that determination, you see that will, then to me, that helps rebuild that trust and help, you know, you reinstate that reassurance that you had that, you know, before he cheated. So okay. I think that the 90-day probation period, now don't tell him he's on a 90-day probation period, because that will fuck it up. And that will also interfere with the intentions of shit. Don't say nothing. Just go through
niggas,
it.
Niggas like a challenge.
Absolutely. Like, don't say shit about the 90 days. Just go through it. You know what I'm saying? And be like, okay, like, all right, I'm going to give you 90 days and just see how you're going to work with that. You know? Right. But also, y'all need to go to counseling. Y'all definitely need to go to counseling.
All right, y'all. So this show is almost 2 hours. So we're going to wrap this up. But before we do, let's ask Meek for her quote of the week.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So I have one. I just completely forgot about it.
I'm just going to put some theme music in right here. The Jeopardy music.
No. So, like I said before, with everything that's going on in the hot topics and everything, I just felt like perception was like key to all of it. And a lot of studies show that perception is actually even more important than reality, because it has a bigger effect on like your reactions and, you know, to things. Anywho, my quote is, the outer world is a reflection of the inner world. Other people's perception of you is a reflection of them. Your response to them is an awareness of you. Take that with you.
All right. Dr. Meek Johnson.
I was ranting.
It's July.
All right, y'all. Thanks to everyone that have subscribed to us. Thanks to everyone that listens to us over on Bomb, Black Opinions Matter. We do have a YouTube, guys, so you can, of course, you can listen to us, but you know, we also have a visual. Three beautiful black women in Las Vegas talking about the hot topics. So make sure you subscribe. We love comments on YouTube for sure. So until next week, we will holler at y'all. Take care of yourselves.
Peace. Drink water. Take baths.
Take care of yourself and work each out. Other.
We out.
We out.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.